Believe here he can be. Amen. Amen. I tell you what, we are thankful for this weekend. Folks can tell you, brother, I have been excited. I have been excited about this weekend coming. Just for my folks to get to meet you and your lovely wife, Sister Flossie, and Brother Irvin were such a blessing to us. I met him out at Pacific Garden Mission, and there was only about five or six of us in a group at Brother Eddie Hebner took us over there, and me and the Graceman took us over to see the mission work. And the first one we met when we went in was Brother Irvin, and he started sharing about the mission. And it wasn't just a few minutes. He was preaching. He wasn't talking. He's about like me trying to teach Sunday school. He was preaching about what God had done to him and how God transformed him right there at Pacific Garden Mission. Amen. And just his testimony was a blessing. What God is able to do, amen. And I believe your exact words, when my parents dropped me off here, there was a needle sticking in my arm, and you know, and man, from the uttermost, from the guttermost to the uttermost, amen, is where God brings us. And just meeting him and Sister Flossie that day, I come back and told my wife, said, "You missed it, you just missed it." And I wanted my folks to meet you all, and I've just been so excited about this weekend coming, and I'm just excited about the next few days we have. Brother Irvin's going to be preaching for us, and if you haven't had a chance to get to meet him, and these are folks, I've seen Sister Flossie, she's been running all over the church, shaking folks' hand, amen, you won't meet strangers, amen. And if you're a child of God, you're just meeting kinsfolk, amen? And I can tell you that. But if you don't know them, take some time this morning. Take some time this week to get to know them. They will bless your heart tremendously. And I know God's got great plans. Brother Irvin asked me, well, how long do I preach? I said, when God tells you to shut up, sit down and shut up, amen? And that's just the way we do it. And we're just going to give him the pulpit now. You just give him your undivided attention. Be obedient. The altar is always open. Amen. And just be obedient to the Spirit of God as he deals with you. Thanks, and let God have this service today, brother.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much. Good morning. Amen. That's kind of a sad good morning for so many people. Good morning.
Good morning.
All right. That sounds a whole lot better. I'm a little bit spoiled up at the mission. The men are pretty noisy up there. But I love the amens and so forth in this place. There's a sweet, sweet spirit in this place. And I want to begin this morning just by thanking each one who participated in yesterday's ladies' conference. It was a beautiful sight. I was here early, and the men, Pastor and the team of men had done such a great job. It was just beautiful. There was not a restaurant in the area that was as beautiful as that all-purpose building yesterday. And then the ladies started to arrive. And just to see the ladies filing into that all-purpose building for breakfast and so forth, it was just really, really, really a blessing to me. And I've already been referred to as Mr. Flossie because some of the ladies didn't know my name. And so they thanked Mr. Flossie. And so I want to thank Mr. Pam, amen, this morning for allowing his dear bride to have such a key role in arranging this ladies' conference. And my wife told me that he also was the only man present yesterday. I'm a little jealous of that, brother. And I went to my own bridal shower, amen? And the ladies spoiled me rotten. So I kind of had an itch yesterday. I wanted to be in here, but I didn't want to put a damper on my wife speaking. But I understand she did a great job. Let's give God a big round of applause. The second thing I want to do this morning is I just want to give a little bit of testimony, and especially for the sake of the young people that are here. I was brought up in a good home. I was brought up in Sunday school. I was brought up singing in my dad's choir. I was taught about the love of God. I was taught respect for adults, hard work, and all these other things. But I really didn't think it was necessary. I really didn't think it was necessary. I thought it was something primarily for old folks or just something, some kind of a trick that my parents were trying to play on me so I couldn't have any fun. Amen. And so the older I got, I began to do things that was out of character when I was away from my parents. You see, when I was growing up, you didn't get a timeout, you got knocked out.
Amen.
Now, my parents, my mom and dad would just reach over the seat and hit everything that was standing. Amen. And that was most of us because there was 12 kids. So you just got hit anyway. And you holler, "Mom, I didn't do anything." Well, that's for the next time. Amen. And so I don't believe in this philosophy that, well, just kids will be kids. I hope you're not teaching your kids that. We weren't taught that. We were taught to be children. We were taught that there was supposed to be a distinct difference between us and those kids that were being raised by unsaved parents. We were taught love. Our parents loved us. We were not abused. And we were to be different. And I did look different when I was growing up, but not in my heart. In my heart, I was not different. I was kind of like the little boy who was acting out in an event, and his mother told him to sit down. And he told her no. And she told him, "You sit down." And he sat himself down, threw himself down, but he told her, "Well, I'm still standing up in my heart." Well, she spanked him at that point. And I got spanked, I got whipped, but my heart was set. My heart was set. I was going to do my thing. And young people, I want you to know, I did. And I want you to know, but for the grace of God and the prayers of my parents, I'd be burning in hell right now. Let me tell you, rebellion, the Bible tells us in the book of Samuel, is as the sin of witchcraft. And witchcraft is pharmakia, it's drug abuse. That's why so many young people are on drugs. And so I followed the scorner's vine. I climbed the scorner's vine. I was a good kid going bad. Good kid going bad. It started off with cigarettes and some profane words and looking at nasty books and pretty soon saying some nasty things and one thing led to the other. And I joined the military at age 19 because I wanted to get away from the presence of my parents. I didn't want to be around them. I didn't want to be around anybody like them because I didn't want to feel bad about my bad choices. And so I followed the wrong crowd. And I smoked marijuana and I drank whiskey. And eventually I was addicted to heroin. And I began to use heroin intravenously. And it took me places that I never dreamed of. I met people that I didn't think existed. And by the time I was age 30 years of age, and let me just back up. I spent 8 years in the military. 2 of those years was in Vietnam. By the time I was 30 years of age, I was strung out on everything you could think of. I was homeless. I'd been shot twice, never once in the line of duty. I'd been beat half to death. I'd OD'd many, many times. I'd gone to jail a few times. We were taught different than all that. And young people, you may be sitting here thinking this morning that it wouldn't happen to you. Well, I said the same thing.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
I said the same thing, but let me tell you something. You're no match for the devil.
Right.
And let me tell you something. Your parents and grandparents, they're not perfect, but I'm going to tell you what. You need to listen.
Yeah.
With both ears.
Right.
You know, the Bible tells us in Luke 9:44, let this word go down. Let it sink down in your ears. Don't let it go in one ear and out the other.
Amen.
Because let me tell you something. In spite of the fact that pastors here and a lot of elders, if this word was not true, I would tell you this morning that there's nothing to it. But let me tell you, not only is it true, but it's alive.
Amen.
And let me tell you something. The devil is alive and well, too.
Yes, that's right.
Okay, and I'm saying this morning primarily for the sake of your kids, but I want to encourage you parents too. Don't stop saying it.
Amen.
Okay? You don't stop saying it. Don't be so concerned about being your friend, your kids' friends that you forget that you're the parent.
Amen.
You're parent first, amen? And then whether or not your friends is up to the kids, amen? By the way, God will save you and clean you up, but the consequences will always be there. I'm 71 years of age, and I'm still bearing the consequences of my poor choices. But I thank God that not only was I saved, but I finally met Preston and Alice. That was my parents. You see, I had a perfect standard for my parents. And in my mind, my parents were superficial. You know, just mom and dad. That's all I knew until I was saved and God opened my wicked eyes. And I met Preston and Alice, who happened to be just another man and woman who loved me dearly and were probably the only real parent, our only real friends that I had. And I know some of you young people here, you may not think that mom and dad are your only friends. You may not be as chummy with mom and dad as you are with some other kids that you know, but I want you to know there's a real good chance that your parents are the only real friends that you have.
Amen.
And I really mean that. There's a good chance that they're the only real friends that you have. this morning and tonight's message, this morning's message is a message of salvation. I heard a lot of requests this morning in Sunday school for prayer for loved ones and so forth. And so I want to preach a message this morning on saving faith. Amen. I want to talk about saving faith because God is able to save from the guttermost to the uttermost. This week, our theme is revival begins with me. Say that with me. Revival begins. Say it like you mean it. Revival begins. Listen, I can't revive you. I cannot revive you. And in fact, if you're not saved, you can't be revived. Revival is for saved people. I remember when I first got saved, how excited I was. And how excited I was. Now, I'll be honest with you, I'm still excited. I believe if you're here this morning and you're saved, I believe that being revived begins with practicing some very basic things. Number one, you need to read the Word of God every day. You need to read the Word of God every day. You need to read the Word of God every day and then read the Word of God every day. And you need to pray every day. And you need to be in church every time the door is open. And you need to witness to the lost. And you need to give on a regular basis. You need to give time, talent, and treasure. And if you'll do these five basic things, you will be revived. So revival begins with me. If you want to be revived, maybe you're here today and maybe you're saved, but maybe you're not quite as excited about it all as you used to be. Well, we want that to change this week. Amen. We want you to get excited again. Northeast Maryland needs the gospel. And it's up to you. They're not coming for the most part in here. So you're going to have to take it to them. Amen. You're going to have to take it to them wherever they happen to be. Whether it's in the cow field or the goat field or wherever it is, you got to take it to them. Revival begins with me. Next thing I want to mention before I preach is I want you to pray for souls this week. Saved and unsaved. I want you to pray for the souls of those who aren't saved and pray for the souls of those who are saved. Amen. I want you to pray this week. God does great things through prayer. Those of you who mentioned unsaved loved ones this morning, you're living in a home with unsaved loved ones. Listen, this is a tremendous challenge for you. You have to be salt in that home. The Bible says in Matthew 5:13, you are the salt of the earth. Amen. Let me tell you three things about salt that you might want to practice in your home if you're living with unsaved people. Number one, salt brings out flavor. And you ought to bring a special flavor to that home. That will not be easy. It will take the power of God. Number two, salt is the preservative. And you ought to preserve the holiness, the righteousness, the decency, and everything else. You're to preserve that in that home. And lastly, salt brings out a very special flavor. You should bring a special flavor. Amen? Bring a very, very special flavor to that home and be light. Light dispels darkness. There has to be a difference between you and those that you're praying for because they got to want. Salt causes a thirst. They got to want what you got. If there's nothing different about you, if they're not thirsty for what you got, then what are you praying for? And so that's going to take a lot of self-denial. Amen. That's going to take a lot of self-denial. You know, by the way, you can't save them. Amen. You can't save them and you can't convince them. You will drive them further and further away from the very God that you're trying to draw them to. I was very impressed this morning with the invitation at Sunday school time. I want you to keep that up. That was a beautiful sight. Pastor stood and he took prayer requests and prayer requests and prayer requests. And every church I'm in and out of, and I'm always someplace in a strange church. By the way, if I'm supposed to feel like a stranger here, I'm going to disappoint you something fierce. I'm just as comfortable here as a roach, amen. I'm as comfortable as that rat that you don't see. He's here somewhere. I'm very comfortable. And so, but I was very impressed. And let me tell you something. As I travel around and preach, two of the saddest problems in our good churches is dry eyes and empty altars. I mean, everybody's got cancer and everybody's got something, and we preach our guts out, and rarely, and listen, in most churches, most folks will not walk an aisle. In most churches, most folks won't come forward. They won't even sit and use the pew as an altar. They'll just sit there and look at you. Like, when are you going to finally say amen? I want you to keep that up. That's a beautiful sight. Amen? Well, this morning, I want you to turn with me to John chapter 3. John chapter 3. This morning, we were in Sunday school. We were in the book of Revelation. And John the Apostle wrote the book of Revelation. John the Apostle also wrote the Gospel of John. He wrote the book of 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. He's known as the beloved disciple. He was a very unique person. He was the man that laid his head on the breast of Jesus Christ at the Last Supper. He's also the man that the Lord Jesus Christ gave the responsibility of his mother when he was hanging on the cross. The Apostle John is a great, 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 great example for each of us in the Word of God. And so we're preaching this morning from one of John's Gospels. Now, John was one of four people that wrote about the Gospel of Jesus Christ. And John's Gospel is uniquely different than Matthew, Mark, and Luke. John's Gospel only has seven miracles in it, which are called signs. And those signs was to show that Jesus Christ was exactly who he said he was. The entire Gospel of John revolves around these seven signs called miracles and seven I am statements. The I am is Yahweh God. In John chapter 6 and verse 35, Jesus Christ says, I am the bread of life. In John chapter 8 and verse 12, Jesus Christ said, I am the light of the world. In John chapter 10 and verse number 9, Jesus says, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. In John chapter 10 and verse 11, the Bible says, I am the good shepherd. Amen. And the good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. In John chapter 11 and verse number 25, the Lord Jesus Christ says, I am the resurrection and the life. Amen. He that believeth in me, though he was dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? In John chapter 14 and verse number 6, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And in John chapter 15 and verse 1, Jesus Christ said, I am the true vine. And my Father is the husbandman. If you haven't read the Gospel of John lately, I would counsel you to spend some time. It's only 21 chapters long. But it's a powerful, powerful book in the Word of God. John chapter 17 is the only place in the Bible that you will call what we call the high priestly prayer of Jesus Christ. Powerful, powerful, powerful book in the Word of God. John chapter 3 today, I want to read for you verses 1 through 8. The title of my message is, You Must Be Born Again. You must be born again. In John chapter 3, beginning in verse number 1, the Bible says, There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee. I want you to notice here, the Lord Jesus Christ never mentions miracles. He never mentions miracles. He was not a magician. Amen. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said unto him, How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Let me pause for a moment. In observation, if you notice, Nicodemus comes to the Lord Jesus at night. Obviously, there was no cell phones. Amen. I don't believe there was any electricity. But he knew how to find the Lord Jesus Christ at night. And what I want to ask you this morning is when it's night in your life, when your body is ill, when things are going wrong in your life, do you know how to find Jesus Christ? Now, let me tell you, I appreciate people praying for me. I really do. But I'm thanking God this morning that I know how to pray for myself. Amen. Do you know how to find God in the night season of your life? Do you know that when you call on God that he heareth you? And if not, why not? If you don't know that he hears you, then why not? Why aren't you sure that when you call on God that he hears you? By the way, he doesn't always say what you want him to say. Amen. Sometimes he says no. Amen. Oftentimes he says wait. Amen. By the way, we live in a sin-cursed world, amen? And so the world, life is thorny. The Bible goes on to say in verse number 5, Jesus answered, verily, verily. Notice this is the second verily, verily. Stop, look, and listen. I say unto thee, except the man be born of water. This speaks of natural birth. Amen. The water and of the Spirit. He cannot enter the kingdom of God. In other words, you have to exist in order to be born again. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, don't be surprised, Nicodemus, you must be born again. Everybody look this way. I cannot assume that you all know Jesus Christ. That would be wrong of me. But I do want you to know this morning, if you're here this morning and you don't know the Lord, I want you to know you can be saved this morning by faith in the finished work of Christ. You do not have to wait until the end of the service. Listen, if you'll just come forward, if you're a man, we'll have a man help you. If you're a lady, we have a lady help you. You don't have to go through the rest of the service not knowing exactly what we're talking about. In fact, I'm going to just ask you to bow your head and close your eyes right where you are right now. If you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you're not 100% sure if you died right now that you'd go to heaven, I want you to slip up your hand real quick. Anybody like that? I want to pray for you. Anyone at all? Anyone at all? Say, Pastor, I'm not sure if I died right now I'd go to heaven. But I want to know Christ. I want to be born again. Anyone at all? Anyone at all? All right, look this way. That's a beautiful sight. That's a beautiful sight. My text verse is verse number 7. You see, being born again is not turning over a new leaf. Amen? Being born again is not turning over a new leaf. It's not being baptized and joining the church. That's religion. Amen? Keep in mind that Nicodemus was a very, very religious man. In fact, I would imagine that Nicodemus's knowledge of the Bible would probably make most of us look almost immature. You see, salvation is not knowing about God. Amen. Salvation is all about knowing God or Him knowing you. And like our little fellow saying, it's about having the Holy Spirit live inside. That's what it means to be born again. And by the way, this statement has to be at the forefront of our minds at all times. As believers, we always have to think about the world around us. And that this person around me, this person that this lady met at the market, this person needs to be born again. And so she invited him. If you're born again yourself, then this ought to be the burden of your heart, is that the world around you need to be born again. It's not having someone tell you that you're saved. There's a lot of that going on by good people just like us. I'm not real big on just a quick sinner's prayer. I mean, I believe in saying a sinner's prayer, but I have to see some evidence after that. If that person is born again, they ought to begin to get in church and they ought to begin to change. They ought to be transformed. I'm not just about a gun notching, amen. I'm not about just going out and witnessing to 100 people and coming back and saying, I got 75 of them saved. I know some places where that takes place, and I imagine your pastor does too. To be born again is to put your faith and trust in the finished work of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of the sin debt, and you will receive the Holy Ghost, which will make you spiritually alive. The songwriter put it this way, heaven came down and glory filled my soul. When as a cross the Savior made me whole, my sins were passed away and my night was turned to day. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. It was March 25th, 1979. I was hellbound. I had nothing. I had nothing whatsoever, not even an ID card. Didn't even own a toothbrush at Pacific Garden Mission in Chicago, Illinois. And somebody was preaching from this very chapter the night that I was saved. And I walked the sinner's aisle. And I got on my knees with an old man from Scotland. And I said a sinner's prayer. And I walked out of that prayer room a saved man. And I've not been the same since. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. And I know that God is able to save from the guttermost to the uttermost. And if you're here this morning and you don't know Christ, maybe you've never done heroin. And maybe you've never done some of the wicked things I did. But you need the same Savior. You're just as lost as I was. I believe that one of the reasons why so many good people are going to wind up in hell is because I don't think they're bad enough to be saved. I'm talking about good churches, just like Charlestown Baptist Church. You know, I'm a little bit afraid of good churchism. I'm a little afraid of that. Where folks know how to look, they know what to say, they know how to act, but lost as a goose in a hailstorm. That frightens me. And let me tell you, I've preached now from California to Mississippi and north to New Hampshire and so on. And I'll tell you, I talk to a lot of pastors, and a lot of pastors are concerned about their church folks. Let me tell you, there's folks in almost every church, good churches, that's never walked an old-fashioned aisle. They won't sing half the time when the songs are being sung, and some other stuff that I don't care to mention. I'm afraid of good churchism. Jesus says you must be born again. This morning I want to answer the question, why? Why must a man or a woman be born again? Well, first of all, I want you to notice that it's because the Bible says so. Amen? It's because the Bible says so. Notice what it says in John chapter 3, verse 7. And if you have a red letter edition of the Bible, and I think you should have, you'll notice that these are the words of Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ said, you must be born again. That's enough of a reason right there. Somebody said, God said it. I believe it, and that settles it. But the Bible, listen, I believe that God said it, and that settles it, whether you believe it or not. It's settled already. The Bible says in Psalms 119, verse 89, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. It has nothing to do with whether or not you believe it. You just have to receive it. And so the Bible says you must be born again. That's reason enough. But let me give you another reason, because the Bible tells us that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. You must be born again. You must be changed from the inside out. There's another good reason, though, why you must be saved is because the soul of man never dies. The soul of man never dies. The Bible tells us in Genesis chapter 2 and verse number 7, the Lord God formed the man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. The soul of man never, never, ever dies. And by the way, let me just challenge you here this morning. If you don't know a plan of salvation, I guarantee your pastor can help you. Every born-again believer, you ought to know a plan of salvation. I'm talking about even from memory. Amen. You ought to know how to lead someone to Christ. Listen, if you're here today and you've never led anyone to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, that needs to change soon. Amen. Listen, our churches are filled with people who does not read the Bible daily. In fact, it's a proven fact. I've checked into it. The percentage is high among professing believers in America who has never read the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. I hope that's not you. And if it is, then get started today. You say, well, I don't understand it. Well, call the words anyway. You don't have to understand it all. In fact, I guarantee you, you can give a person who's totally illiterate a smartphone. Can't read anything. You give them a smartphone, and by tomorrow, they'll know everything about it. There's a girl down in a young widow down in Kentucky who happens to be a good friend of mine. She had a baby just a few months before her husband died. And that baby is now 2 years of age. And the mother allows the kid to use the phone and has some little Bible games and whatever that the kid plays on the phone. And that kid already knows how to block out incoming calls. Because I try and call mom sometimes and I can't get her, and it's because that kid's got the phone. Most professing believers has never read the Bible through and through. Most professing believers does not read the Bible daily. Most professing believers does not pray daily. Most professing believers in America does not tithe. That's what's wrong with America. It's not the Trump administration. Amen? It's not the Trump administration. The problem is lethargy among those of us who say we know the Lord. There's another great reason why a man or woman must be born again, and that's because hell is real. Hell is real. If you believe hell is real, raise your hand. You believe hell is real. Hell is real. Turn to Luke chapter 16. Luke 16. And Christian, let me tell you something. I want this to paint a picture in your mind like you've never seen before. If you really believe hell is real, my friend, it ought to help you to witness. Amen. If you believe that hell is real, it ought to help you to pray. Amen. If you really believe that hell is real, then my friend, it ought to help you to live for Jesus Christ. Amen. Hell is real. By the way, when I begin reading this story, I don't want you to get the idea that the rich man went to hell because he was rich. And I don't want you to get the idea that the poor man went to heaven because he was poor. The rich man went to hell because he was a non-believer, and the poor man went to heaven because he accepted Jesus Christ as his Savior. It's just that simple. The Bible says in Luke chapter 16 and beginning in verse number 19, there was a certain rich man, and I want you to notice, you know, here in America, the rich people love to display their names. Amen. They love to display their names, but God doesn't even give this old man a name. Amen. The Bible said there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate full of sores and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments. And he seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Before I read any further, I want you to observe a couple of things here in verse number 24. The first thing I want you to observe is, I believe that whatever you go to hell wanting, you'll want it for all eternity. This man was accustomed to calling the shots. He was still trying to tell everybody what to do. Tell Lazarus to do this or that. He was still wanting to have authority. I believe that if you go to hell smoking cigarettes, you'll want one for all eternity. Or beer or whatever it is. But I want you to notice something else in verse 24. I want you to notice his imagination has completely changed from anything that you and I could imagine. This man somehow could imagine that a wet finger could somehow bring him relief. My imagination doesn't serve me that well. Hell is real. Hell is real. Listen, if you've never asked God to somehow help you, In your human imagination to somehow peep over the abyss into hell where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched, where the fire is seven times hotter than any fire that we know of, where there's nothing but the smell of sulfur and screaming and yelling and screaming and yelling in outer darkness forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Yes, God. That's what this church is all about. That's what this message that we preach is all about. That's what the singing is all about. That's why we're here this morning. And let me tell you something. If it wasn't real, I wouldn't be here. If it wasn't real, I wouldn't be here. But it's real. It's real. And let me tell you something else. It's serious. And let me tell you something else. It's narrow. Amen. And let me tell you something. We're going to preach some messages this week that I'm hoping that will sandblast the walls in this church. It's narrow. This thing is serious. It's serious as a stroke. Why on earth would a God, a loving God, take a needle out of an arm like mine and put a Bible in my hand? Bless the Lord, O my soul. All that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who healeth all thy diseases, who forgiveth all thine iniquities. Hallelujah. Those of you who have unsaved loved ones, I want you to know nothing's too hard for God. I want you to keep on praying for them. Listen, don't walk around mad at them, acting like somehow you can save them because you're going to show them the wrath of God. You'll get the wrath of God. God loves them. I want you to know that. He loves them. He died for them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hell is real. Let's continue our story in verse number 25. The Bible says, but Abraham said, son, I need you to remember. Notice he can still remember. He can still remember in hell. He can still remember, amen, that I believe this man was a Jew and he had a responsibility of because he had so much. He knew he was supposed to help the poor. By the way, what are you doing? I'm so impressed with Tabitha's pantry. Amen. And I have a friend here about this big named Ruby. Amen. Some of y'all know Sister Ruby. Amen. Well, Ruby and I are good buddies now. Sister Ruby is a missionary. Amen. Her and her grandma. And they believe in helping those who are having a problem trying to help themselves. That's enough to make a Baptist shout. The Bible says, remember. And by the way, listen, this man's recollection is coming a little late. The Bible says, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thou good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he's comforted and thou art tormented. And besides all this, between us and you, there's a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. All this talk about I'm going to have fun in hell and I'm going to be with my friends in hell. Some of you have heard, by the way, listen to me carefully. Don't you ever wish that somebody was in hell? You know, sometimes we can get pretty upset about things in life. Don't you ever look at someone and think, I wish. Don't do it. I'm sorry to have to admit I've done it. I've said it loudly and angrily. How about you? Amen. So don't get so upset when you hear it going on out here. Just pray for them. Just pray for them. Hell is real. Oh, my. There's a great gulf fixed. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. Notice he's still trying to call the shots. For I have five brethren. There were six boys in that family. This one's in hell, and he's concerned about the other five. That he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. We need to pray for those who don't know the Lord, that they would make the proper choice. Amen? And God is able. God is able to change their hearts. You must be born again because the Bible says so. You must be born again because the soul of man never dies. And you need to know this, Christian, so that as you witness to others and as you pray about those who aren't saved, that you will have this knowledge in your mind. And they need to be saved because hell is real. They need to be saved also because heaven is waiting. Turn to Revelation chapter 21. Heaven is real. By the way, how many of you here have a heaven verse memorized? Raise your hand. Amen. I see a few hands. Well, go home and memorize one. Amen. Go home and memorize one. Memorize Revelation 21:1. Amen. And that'll get you started right there. But I like 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 1. That's my heaven verse. It says, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in heaven. Now, let me tell you something. If you're on your way to heaven, you ought to have a heaven verse. Amen. Listen, John chapter 14. Amen. Beginning in verse 1, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Listen, know a heaven verse so that when the chips are down, so when fear comes, you can quote your heaven verse. You can quote your heaven verse. The devil is a lie. Devil is a lie. Let me tell you, when troubles comes and it's late at night, 1, 2 o'clock in the morning, and your sleep is gone, and your fear, somebody know what I'm talking about, and your fear comes, you better know a heaven verse, and you better quote it until you go back to sleep again. I like Isaiah 41:10. That's my fear verse. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yes, I will help thee. Yeah, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Sometimes I quote that, and I quote it, and I quote it, and I just keep on quoting it. Sometimes I lay there for hours, and I'm afraid to death. Sometimes over almost nothing. Lay there and get word because the car ain't running right. Then I start thinking about something somebody said. And pretty soon I'm upset because I'm old and bald and ugly. Amen. Am I helping anybody? Let me tell you, when you're awake at night, don't just lay there and turn the TV on. Don't just lay there and turn something else on. Turn the Bible on your phone. It'll play the Word of God to you. Amen. If you don't have a Bible, download one. Turn on the Psalms. Spend time with God. The Bible says in Revelation 21:1. By the way, I hope you know the names of the 66 books of the Bible. How many of you can quote them from Genesis to Revelation? Raise your hand. Amen. The rest of you go home this afternoon. You'll get no food. Amen. When you get home this afternoon, amen, take that list and start going down and no chicken, no whatever it is. You'll hurry up and memorize them. Amen. You ought to know them. How many of you ever heard that song, "I'm using my Bible for a roadmap"?
Amen.
Amen. Well, how in the world are you going to use it for a roadmap if you don't even know how to read it? Some people are following their GPS right out into the middle of mud bogs. Amen. Amen. I made the mistake of not reading my atlas before we left home. And I knew in the back of my mind that I should come, you know, 80 and then come 76 to 70 and come on down. But I didn't read the map. And so I kept on following the GPS down 76 until it got tired of me driving on 76. And then it brought me through every Amish farm in Pennsylvania. By the time I got to the Best Western, I was ready to scream. Amen. So I went to Walmart yesterday morning. I bought a brand new atlas. My atlas told me, amen, when I leave here, go south on 95 to I-70 and take a sharp right. And I-70 will take you all the way to Indianapolis, Indiana, if you want to go. Hallelujah. The Bible says, notice this. John said, "I saw a new heaven." By the way, John had been exiled for righteousness. So John had been exiled, put out for preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And friend, listen to me. I'm here this week to help you. I don't know what it's going to cost you. But let me tell you, my wife and I, we served for 23 years at Pacific Garden Mission. And we were so sure. It was 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 10, that God used to send us from Indianapolis to Chicago, Illinois, to serve at the mission. I had no idea that my wife would wind up working at the mission. But we were in a gospel service one Sunday night, and this man was preaching from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 10. What are you doing with the grace that God gave you? And God spoke to my heart. I'd been asked to come to the mission, but I said, I can't go until God sends me. And we had an old house that we had bought, and I sold the old house. We'd only owned it for about 3 or 4 years. We didn't have anything. I didn't even negotiate a salary with the mission. And God tested my faith. I didn't have money. I had a nice house in a bad neighborhood. I didn't know exactly where we would live. I didn't know exactly. My wife has a degree in office management. I didn't know where she'd work. I didn't know much anything, but I knew 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 10. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And this grace which was bestowed on me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. And it was time for Irvin McNeil to stand firmly on the word of God. And I stood on it. I didn't even negotiate a salary with the mission. I had no idea what they would pay me. I had no idea where my wife. In fact, it was 2 weeks before we moved in 1995 that God showed me a place that we could live. But I was going to Chicago if I had to unload my furniture in the middle of the street. And we went. And let me tell you something. And God promised us in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and maybe before the week is over, I'll show you what God promised us. But he promised us a good living with persecution. And we received it all. And let me tell you something. Working with all Christian people sometimes is harder than working in a steel mill. Oh, I'm telling you, I got myself disappointed. I got myself talked about, lied on, left out, put out, and shut out. Especially when you are committed to living a life of separation. The wife and I committed to separation, amen, from the world years and years ago. By the way, I don't know if you're committed to living a separated life, but you don't hear much about that anymore in our churches. But let me tell you something, you need to be separate from the world. Now, I'm not talking about alienation, but I'm talking about separation. You ought not go where the world goes. You ought not do what the world does. By the way, the Christian life is not just a bunch of do's and don'ts, but there's a whole lot of things you ought not be doing. There's a whole lot of things you ought not see. There's a whole lot of places that you ought not go. the wife and I haven't been into a movie theater since 1983. You know why? Because I was born again from a life of sin and shame. And even if the movie that you go to watch is good, the upcoming attractions will blow you away. And once they're in there, you cannot delete it. I don't have Facebook. Amen. I don't have Facebook because there's no, number one, it's a lie. There is no way in the world when most people don't have 5 real friends, all of a sudden you got 100. Some of them in California, Nevada, and everywhere else, and you spend all your life now talking to your friends. My friend, that's a lie. They're not your friends. I don't care what you ate for breakfast, to be honest with you. I really don't. What difference should that make to me? John said, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. This earth is not my home. I'm just a passing through. If heaven's not my home, Lord, then tell me what shall I do? The angels beckons me from heaven's open doors, and I can't feel at home. By the way, are you home in this world? I'm not home here. I'll be honest with you. I've told my doctor a few times, they want me to take this now. I said, you try it. I'm not afraid to die.
Amen.
Glory to God. I'm not afraid to die, and you're not killing me on pills. I don't believe I need all that. By the way, of all things, I won a cake yesterday. I was over here eating with all these ladies. I used my wife as an excuse to get in the hall with all them women. Amen. And so I weaseled my way on in there, and somebody came along and picked up a little box of candy and had a flower on the bottom and said, you won a cake. Well, that's the worst thing in the world. I'm going to bring it back, the rest of it. I already bit off of it. In fact, listen, I ate too much of it. Oh, is it good? And it's nice and heavy. I love heavy, moist cake. Oh, is it weighty? It's heavy. Lord, forgive me. John said, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. Listen, this thing, the former heaven and the former earth were passed away. Notice this. He identified himself. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven. You know, I can imagine that if some of the people that helped John to be exiled had the opportunity to read this, they were probably shocked. Amen? Prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. By the way, Friday was my 39th anniversary. My wife and I were in the car on our way to Northeast Maryland, amen, riding to get over here. And I remember, though, on that day, we had a pretty special day, even though we were on our way to do ministry, amen. We had a great day. But I remember the day I got married and how beautiful my wife looked to me. But this is a beautiful, beautiful picture of the Church of Jesus Christ. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, by the way, how many married people do we have before I go any further here? How many married people? That's a beautiful sight. Well, listen, men, if you work as hard to keep her as you did to get her, you'll never lose her. Amen. I'll say that again. If you work as hard to keep her as you did to get her, you'll never lose her. And by the way, husbands, if you don't know what's wrong with her, you need to have a talk with me before I leave. If she's acting strange and you don't know what's wrong with her, you better talk to me because it's you. I have men all the time tell me, Pastor, I don't know what's wrong with my wife. I said, you don't? No. I really believe something's wrong, but when I asked her, she told me she's okay. I said, oh, you're in trouble. Amen. you're in so much trouble, it's pitiful. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. This is beautiful. And God himself shall be with them and be their God. This is why you must be born again. This is why you need to tell the world around you, you must be born again. Heaven is a wonderful place. Heaven is a wonderful place, full of glory and grace. I'm going to see my Savior's face. Heaven is a wonderful place. I've had people ask me, you mean you believe that stuff? I tell them, oh yeah, what do you believe, by the way? Yeah, I believe it. I believe it with everything I've got and then some. Glory to God. Oh yes. I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. Capital G. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death. You won't have to worry about the announcements anymore. Neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain. I know some of you in here live with pain. I know you do. In fact, I got some issues myself. I like that word issues. Everybody got issues nowadays. Amen. Everybody got issues. Amen. Amen. But I want you to know there'll be no more pills. There's not going to be any more bills. Amen. You won't have to worry about the clouds in the sky. There won't be any more of that. Oh, hallelujah. For the former things, notice this, for the former things are passed away. Say that with me. For the former things are passed. Say it again. For the former things are passed. Say it loud. For the former things are passed. Amen. That's right. Let's make the devil run. Amen. It's going to end. You know, over and over the Bible says, and it came to pass. And it came to pass. It's going to pass. Amen. It's going to pass. You won't have to worry about it anymore. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Oh, my. Look at verse number 8. Amen. Look at verse number 8. But the fearful. And unbelieving, the abominable, and murderers, and whoremongers, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars. By the way, I hope you're not a liar. I say that tongue in cheek. I hope you're not a liar. There's no such thing as a Christian lie. There's no such thing as a white lie. Where I live is a lie. By the way, when I was growing up, you got slapped in your mouth for lying. And in some cases, if it was a mess, you had to wash your mouth out with some soap. And all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. You must be born again because the Bible says so. Number 2, because the soul of man never dies. Number 3, hell is real. Number 4, heaven's real. Number 5, because it's the only way to experience lasting peace and contentment while you live in this troubled world. I don't know if you have peace this morning. I don't know if you have peace, but I want you to know you can have peace. If you know the Lord, amen, Pastor? Listen, you may have cancer. Your everything may be wrong in your life, but I want you to know you can have peace. Jesus said in John 14:27, my peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Listen, friend, I want you to know something. You can have peace. You can't manufacture it. But through the Holy Spirit of God, which indwells you, I want you to know you can have peace. You can have peace. But you must be born again. I believe that what most of our nation needs is Jesus Christ, because our nation is on medicine. By the way, there's just as many people now on prescription medicine as their own illegal drugs. Be careful with this legal medicine. And let me tell you something. All you got to do is just tell the doctor you don't feel good, and he'll give you a pill. Amen? He'll give you a pill. He'll give you one to get you up, one to shut you up, and one to mess you up. Amen? You won't know. And listen, you won't know what you took last. You'll be sitting up crying. And the first thing someone would ask you, did you take your pills? Yeah, I took them. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. That's a good reason to be saved. Do you have the peace of God? Call on the Lord. He's waiting to hear you. You have to show people how they can be born again. You must accept the fact, first of all, they must accept the fact that they need to be saved. See, a lot of our world around us feel like they're okay. Some of the most well-known religions in this country, people feel like they're all right because they are a Baptist or a Catholic or whatever. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Amen. All have sinned. A person must ask Jesus Christ to save them, if at all possible. They must ask the Lord Jesus Christ to save them. The Bible says in Romans chapter 10 and verse number 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God has from the dead, thou shalt be saved. The Bible says in Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It would be lunacy to run a ministry as big as Pacific Garden Mission if we didn't believe that the word of God was true. Pacific Garden Mission right now houses about 800 people a day. Feed them 3 times a day. The mission needs prayer. Amen. Mission needs prayer, and the mission needs money. If you want to support a good organization, send a check to Pacific Garden Mission. They preach the Word of God every day. They use the King James Bible. They still sing the hymns. Amen. So, we answered why. So let's talk about, we talked about how. So let's talk about when. By the way, salvation is a sense of urgency. If you know someone who's not saved, if you're here today, my friend, and you're not saved, you need to be saved now. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2, behold, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Your unsaved neighbor needs to be saved. They need to be saved now. They need to be saved right now. Do you know how to lead a person in a sinner's prayer? Look back with me at John chapter 3. John 3. Jesus said you must be born again in verse number 7. But I want you to notice verse number 8 for me. Verse number 8. The Bible says in John 3:8, the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone who's born of the Spirit. Everybody look this way. Let me just interpret that for you. What God is saying to those of us who know him is that the Holy Spirit and the wind have something in common. They're both invisible, but they both create evidence. Is there any evidence in your life today that you are born again? There has to be something. Where's the evidence? If you were arrested this morning or this afternoon for being a Christian, would they find enough evidence to prosecute you? Would they be able to indict you for being a Christian? When they check your bank records, would they find large sums of money on a consistent basis that you've given to the work of the Lord? When they look through your home and through your car, would they find Bibles that are all marked up, evidence that you've been reading? In your neighborhood, when they ask your neighbors about who lives over there, what would they tell the police officers? The Bible says the wind, Jesus says, the wind blows where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and where it goeth. So's everyone who's born of the Spirit. Are you born again? Do you know the Lord? A number of us here today has been professing Christ for a long time. Is there evidence? Is there evidence? You read your Bible daily. 2 Timothy 2:15. If not, I need you to change that this morning. If you're not reading it every day, that needs to end. Do you pray regularly? Not just begging God for stuff, but are you praying for souls? Are you praying for this beautiful country? The Bible says, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven. Are you a member of a good local church just like this one? Are you here on a regular basis? I bet you there's members of Charleston Missionary Baptist Church not far from here today who should be here, but they're not here. One of the reasons they're not here is because it's a nice day, amen? Sun shining. Have you ever led anyone to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ? We're going to have an invitation in just a moment. If any of this applies to you, my friend, we need to fill up this space down here this morning. We need to be praying about these things. If you want to be revived, only God can do that. Only God can do that. Are you giving? Are you giving time, talent, and treasure? Are you giving over and above the tithe? Do you have a burden for the lost? I believe these are valid questions. I'm going to ask you to bow your head and close your eyes.